sing. To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No stairwell, no tear dim eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul never dies, and I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dim eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
Sing a third.
A love light beams across the foam, where the soul never dies. It shines to light the shores of home, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear dim eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
Sing the last.
I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting end, and the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dim eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
Brother Dalton leads in prayer, please, brother. Amen. Let me see.
Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. Y'all had a good day? Amen. Amen. God's been good to us, hasn't He? Amen. Some of you might not know it. Sister Mary Buckhannon went home to be with the Lord this week. She was a precious old lady. I remember visiting with her when she was still at home back down here and hearing her testimony of how God saved her in an old Brush Arbor meeting. Years when she was about 12, 13 years old. And she was just interesting. Old people are interesting to talk to. Ain't we? No, I wish I had my mom and daddy back. I'd love to talk to them and just those things you miss when somebody's gone on. You wished you'd have done. Amen. But anyway, it's good to see you tonight. Let's go to our classes.
I won't need them. Brother Mock is so right about living with no regrets. I think we talked about that last time we were together. The woulda, shoulda, coulda, you know. You think back to a time where you wish you could have spent that last few minutes with somebody or taken one extra trip out of your day and gone to visit somebody, and next thing you know, you hear that they're no longer around, and you don't want to live with a regret. And I think we talked about that last time in our lesson, talking about abiding in Him. But tonight, let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. If you would, mark your spot there. We're going to read out of there, Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Then if you would, just skip a few books up forward and go to Hebrews 4, 19 through 12. Hebrews 4, 19 through 12. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. That's where we're going to lay the anchor initially. But then mark Hebrews 4, 9 through 12. The Lord's laid this message on my heart for the past 30 days. I happened to get some thoughts when we were singing during one Sunday. I think Brother Tim led us in the choir, in the chorus, about "Come Unto Me," that song. And I just got to pondering over it over the last 30 days, and the Lord's just laid a couple different thoughts on my heart about coming unto Him. So I'm going to try to get through it quick. So y'all listen fast, okay? I got a lot of scripture that we're going to look at, review. It's going to be more of a Bible lesson than maybe a preaching message, but I think we'll be able to get a lot of deep thoughts out of these verses of scripture. So let's look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Y'all there? Say amen. All right. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord, again, thank you for tonight, for this opportunity to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you'll use it to encourage us and help us. Lord, pray for all the special requests that were made known tonight in our prayer room. Just be with those that are hurting. Lord, help people have direction as they see fit, but as you see fit for their lives. Lord, give them clear direction, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So if you were to put a title to the message tonight, it's "Time to Unload That Burden of Heavy Labor." It's time to unload the burden of labor and heavy laden. It was in August 31st of 1986. It was a cargo ship. It was called the Cayenne Sea. The Cayenne Sea. It was registered in Liberia, and it was loaded with more than 14,000 pounds of ash. 14,000 pounds of ash is about 30 million pounds of ash. And it was incinerated from the city of Philadelphia. They had an agreement with New Jersey to be able to take their incinerated ash and bring it to Jersey in a dump spot. But what happened was, New Jersey passed a law that said they were no longer going to accept any outside ash, anything that was burnt away. So this ship, the Cayenne Sea, traveled up and down the East Coast. It went for different places, to the Bahamas. It went over to the Atlantic Ocean. And for 16 months, it traveled up and down with this 30 million pounds of incinerated ash with nowhere to dump it. It went over to areas like the Dominican Republic, the Honduras, Bahamas, Panama, Dutch Antilles, but to no avail. It was unable to dump its 30 million pounds of ash. It did make one stop in Haiti, and they dumped 4,000 pounds of this incinerated ash. The government of Haiti heard about it and pushed them out and said, "No, you can't do that here. That's not available. We're not going to allow you to do that." It traveled to Morocco, Yugoslavia, Sri Lanka, Singapore, but to no avail. Then all of a sudden, the rest of the incinerated ash that was on that boat was gone. They questioned the crew members. They had no idea about it. And then 1993, the captain and part of the crew members were brought into a lawsuit, a legal lawsuit, and under oath, they were asked, "Where did that ash go to?" That other 30 million pounds, what happened to it? You come to find out that the ship Cayenne Sea dumped it into the Atlantic Ocean, in the Pacific Ocean, in the Indian Ocean. Both the crew members, several of the crew members and the captains were fined, put under perjury. The two owners were fined heavily. The Cayenne became known as the largest floating garbage truck in the world. And for over 3 years, it had been burdened down. The crew became weary. The Cayenne was wandering aimlessly, heavy laden, nowhere to rest, exhausted, nowhere to go. Later in life, the Cayenne Sea was retired. It became known as a different ship, Palenco, to be able to change its name so nobody would know its identity. But that still wasn't the case. As I thought about that story and I read it one morning, I said to myself, you know, that's this whole story about going across different areas, not having a name, burden, really, unfortunately, talks about a lot of people today. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, that are wandering right now, heavy laden, exhausted, aimlessly seeking, but never finding relief from anything they were doing. Trying to get rid of the trash and reload is what Christ wants to do for us. He wants us to take that burden off our shoulders. He wants us to reload us with fresh fuel. He wants us to give a safe package to our home port. Matthew 11:28. Look at it again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, it's interesting, and I just happened to see this evening. Seven different times in these verses of Scripture, 28, 29, and 30, the word me or I are placed in there. Come unto me, take my yoke, learn of me, I. Talks about my, it talks about my. Seven different times the word me or I are placed in there. We all have learned, and even from my last study, the word seven means perfect, perfection. If we're looking for perfection, if we're looking for that place to dump that heavy laden, he says, give it to me, and I will give you rest. Let me set the stage to where we're at here in Matthew 11:28, and let's go back and read Matthew 11:21. Look at in Matthew 11:21-24, and this is the premise that occurred before 11 and 28. So here we see in Matthew 11:21, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if thy mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more trouble for Tyre and Sidon all the day of judgment than you. What he's saying is, if you would have just taken and listened, you two cities, to the teachings that were there before you, you wouldn't have the judgments that are due for you. 23, and thou, Capernaum, that's a place where Jesus did a lot of his teaching, a lot of his messaging, a lot of his religious teachings. He said, which art exalted unto heaven? He says it right there. Shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. He's saying, look, and here he was talking to the Jewish people. He was talking to the elect, saying, look, if you'll just have worshipped me, if you would have listened to the teachings that I had through myself and the other apostles and the disciples, he said, you would have been a gracious nation. But you didn't. You said, you know what? We're going to go back our own ways. We're going to go live off of the religious teachings of the Old Testament. We don't need this saved by grace. We need to live off the Old Testament teachings. And so we see all of a sudden Jesus at this point turns his back to the nation of Israel and says, you know what, since you don't want to talk, if you don't want to listen to me, if you don't want to adhere to the things I'm trying to teach you, I'm going to go to the Gentiles and teach them. Thank God for that, too. Thank God that he reached out to us, the Gentile nation, to teach us and give us the word of God. So we see during this time, as he's focused away now from Israel, he goes to the Gentile nations in Matthew 11:28-30. But if we're to find and receive the rest, it requires action on our part. Look at verse 28 again. Come, take, learn, and find. That's what we're going to look at today. The four action words that Jesus used in these verses of Scripture. He says, come, take, learn, and find. To me, as I'm reading through that, folks, it's telling me that I have to do something. If I'm seeking rest, during these wandering times, if it's to the point where you're saying, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why are you placing me into these positions? What is going on in my life? I need some rest. It's up to me to come, take, learn, and hear from the Word of God. He's laid it out for us. The Pharisees said, do, but Jesus says, come unto me all who? Ye. So who is he talking to? He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't go to the Pharisees. They're teaching do, 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 and do. I'm teaching you, come to me and get the grace of God through me, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I did a quick study on the commandments. There were 613 different commandments that the nation of Israel had to do to be in good standing with the religious zealots, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of that time. And I'm going to read all 613 to you right now. No, I'm not. Let me just read you four or five of them that really stood out to me when I was going through these. These are called the mitzvots, M-I-T-Z-V-O-T-S. These were the mitzvots of the commandments that the rabbis made the nation of Israel have to adhere to. Number 109 was not to travel on Shabbat outside of one city limits. If you've listened and watched the series The Chosen, has anybody seen that? You hear them talking a lot about Shabbat. What Shabbat was the holy day. It was the day that was set aside for them to rest, to energize, to recoup, and get themselves ready to go. The word Shabbat, really the root word of Shabbat that you've seen on the series Chosen, was their holiday, was their official day, their resting day, but it also means, the root word means to rest, to refresh and to energize. So one of the commandments was not to travel on Shabbat outside the city limit. Another one, number 164, not to boil or cook any meat along with dairy or milk products. Another one, not to eat fat of some clean animals. I'm in favor of number 185. Do not eat maggots. Was one of the commandments. Amen? That was one I could adhere to. I would have gone ahead and done that one. 188, I wasn't too sure. Do not eat creatures that live in the water other than fish. And so I know some of y'all could eat your weight in crab legs. I've seen and heard the stories about it. And I could do the same thing with shrimp. So I'm not in favor of 188. 327. Thank God for this one that didn't occur. Impure persons must not enter the temple. Thank God that I was able to enter the temple in 1985. I was an impure person on my way to hell, but the Lord saved me inside the temple and inside His house of worship. And thank God for that. But if you were impure during those times, you weren't even allowed to go into the temple. All those of different upbringings and professions, He said, come unto me. You know, the word come has a whole New Testament trail if you look at it. We're looking at it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 24 or verse 28. But you go to Revelation 3:20 real quickly. Skip over to Revelation 3:20. And look at the word come, how it goes all the way from Matthew, all the way through the Scripture, all the way into the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:20 says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will what? Come. He says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It talks about more of a salvation message in Revelation 3:20. But yet you go back to Matthew chapter 11, our study talks about a message of hope, of regards for Christ and having him give us rest. So you see the word come has a whole trail. From the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, all the way to the end of Revelation. You know, one thing that I learned today when in my studies, go back to Revelation. If you're there, that's fine. But look, Revelation 3:20 says, I will come into him and will sup with him. The word sup is an interesting word. I think the root word is P-H-E-R-O-N, pheron. It was the name of the root word for the word sup. And back in those New Testament times, that last dinner of the day that they had, whatever time it might have been, was it said, we will sup with him. That was the last dinner, the last meal that they had for that night before they went to bed, before the dawn of a new day. So think about it spiritually. What he's saying is, I will come in and sup with you and have that last dinner with you. But if you're an unsaved person and you don't have that sup with me, like he talks about in 3:20, you are not going to see the new day the next morning. He says the salvation verse in Revelation 3:20. I want to sup with you. I want to have that last meal. But if you miss it and you don't have that time, that one-on-one, that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not going to see that morning, that next morning, the daybreak of the next morning. So it's an invitation to come for the final meal of the evening. Matthew 11:28, back to it again. Labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest comes in two different ways. I know if I've had a long day at work, you know, I try to drive early in the morning, beat all the traffic, get to work, get to Atlanta by 6 a.m., maybe 5:45 in the morning. And there's be some days where I'll be in the plant all day working on new projects, working with our production people. And by the end of the night, I am wore out. I am tired. And you come back driving from Atlanta that you all have, and you get to Six Flags Hill, and that sun hits you right there, and it just wears you out. It tires you out. But there's nothing like going home after a long day work and crawling in that bed and fluffing up your pillows and putting your head down and getting a good night rest. Amen? But that's not the rest he's necessarily talking about. It's great to have it in that physical sense, but spiritually, he's talking about us having a rest in Christ. He said the root word for rest is heavy laden, is wharton, which also means an injury that may occur due to the weight of carrying physical and emotional stress. If you think about that emotional stress that you have, and physically, it'll wear you out just as much as that physical stress does. And that's what he says. I want to give you the rest to put your head down at night, but I want to give you that emotional rest to get you through those times that you're going through. Rest in Matthew 11:28 is the same root word that we find in Genesis 2:3. We're not going to take time to look at it, but if you go to Genesis 2:3, you'll see where God rested. After creation, He took time to rest. It talks about a stop, a refill, an invigoration, and prepare for the journey ahead. So if you like to travel across the United States, I know some of y'all do, you like to travel different areas and go different ways, and you see the signs, the marker signs. So you're coming from Atlanta and you see the first one that says Mirror Lake, and it's that big green sign. And you go to the next one and it goes to Villarica, Highway 61. And you get off at my exit, Temple exit, the big green sign. But you're driving down the road and you're uncomfortable and you really need a facility and you just want to stretch and you're tired and you're looking for what color sign down the road? That big blue sign that says rest area ahead, 2 miles. Amen? That rest area ahead isn't a sign for you just to pull off and get rest and go back to where you came from. That sign is an opportunity for you to refresh yourself, to stretch out, to take a breath, maybe use the facilities, whatever you got to do. But that rest area is a time for you to recoup, energize, and continue on in your direction. Amen? It's not a sign that says go back to where you came from. That's exactly what Christ is telling us in that verse of Scripture. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to give you that rest stop to pull off the side of the road. I'm going to help you through Scripture. I'm going to guide your life. I'm going to give you the comfort that I can give you. But don't stop here. Christian, don't stop where you're at right now. Go into the rest area that God's given us to be able to go forward and continue on that journey to the end point to where God has got us to go. He says, I will give you rest, not to stop, but to go on and move forward. It's our responsibility to seek a rest stop during adversity. We must find the rest areas that God has given us. 11:29, take my yoke. Take my yoke. I'm not talking how many of y'all see a picture of a yoke? It's that little yellow thing inside of the white area. You fry it in a frying pan. That's the yoke. No, that's not what he's talking about. But here's a similarity. I thought about this in the crazy way I think. The yolk of an egg is the center part of the egg. Amen? Christ has got to be the center part in our lives. Amen? The yolk of that egg is the center part. But the protein around that egg, the white part, did you know that if you take 100 grams of 100 grams of the yolk and 100 grams of that egg white, there's more protein in the yolk of that egg than there is in that egg white. when you weigh them side by side, 100 grams. What does protein do? Protein helps us. It rebuilds those broken parts in our lives. It gives us better thought process. It gives us the ability to think better. Think about Christ. That's what He does. When He's the center of our life, when Christ is that protein in our lives, it helps us to have better thoughts. It helps us to move forward with Him. It gives us strength when we're weak. But the yoke that He's talking about here is Y-O-K-E. Take my yoke. You know, it kind of seemed like a paradox to me when I was thinking through this. I said, wait a minute. Here I am tired. I'm weary. We've been through the battles in Christendom. Things haven't gone right the way we think they should be. Christ is challenging us at times. He's trying to get us through these areas. And He's saying now to take this yoke upon me. He says, take the yoke and put it on me. God, what are you doing? I'm already wore out and you're wanting me to carry this weight around my neck and yoke forward? But if you look at it that way, it's going to take you down. But look at the way that Christ was meaning in this verse of Scripture. He says, take my yoke. The yoke is a noun and a verb. The yoke is a frame or a band that went around the ox's neck, but it also was to draft together at the head of the neck and work together in a common goal. In building the yoke for an ox, it had to be individually made to fit the ox that would be pulling it. He may be uncomfortable any time. Think about this. That yoke may be uncomfortable and take time to get used to it, but in time becomes a way of life with another assisting us in carrying the load and the burden. Thank God for the yoke that I can have somebody next to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, that helps me to get through different times of difficulty in my life. That the burden isn't all on me. Why? Because He's the burden bearer. He's helping me with that yoke around my neck. What does the yoke do? Several things. What does the yoke do? It helps us. It abides in us. Sometimes what they would do is take that yoke. The younger and the older ox would be joined together. As I was reading and studying about how this works in a physical sense and tying it into a spiritual sense, so often they would take the older ox and put it with a younger ox. And the older ox would be yoked together with that younger ox because it taught the younger one less, who was less knowledgeable about submission, about authority, about following through, gleaning off the maturity of the older ox to be able to be successful together as a team. That's exactly spiritually, guys, what we have to do. When He says yoke upon Him, that means to get His understanding, to be in submission, to have authority from Jesus Christ in our lives. It gives direction. The older ox, having traveled the path several times, knew the direction that needed to be taken. I'm so glad Jesus Christ knows my path before, now, and going forward. He says, yoke yourself upon me, because I've been down this road before. I know the direction to take. I know where the pitfalls are. I know where the stumps are. I know where the big rocks are. Let me follow you, you being that younger ox. Let me follow me, and I will get you through these times. So to be yoked with Him is to get direction from Him. He says in 1 Peter, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. The yoke also gave companionship. It's an opportunity to spend time together, commune, and have a common goal in mind. Take this yoke upon me, is what He's saying in 11:29. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. The process of development. The more trust we have in Him, the more trust we have in Him. We're learning of Christ. Look at Philippians real quickly. Philippians 3:10. First of all, we see the take, the yoke. Now we're seeing about the learn of me. Philippians 3:10. It says here, 3:10. Let me get to it. That I may know Him. You know, we talked about learning of Christ. And here's Paul. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. He says, look, not as though I had already arrived. He says, I'm not an arrival. I'm not even looking back to my past victories. It was Christ that brought me through those. He says, I have not attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend, that means to gain, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, listen, forgetting those things which are behind, what he's saying is, look, I'm forgetting about those successes in the past and how the Lord used me to get through things, but those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It has a word thought of about reaching forth means as an Olympic runner. As an Olympic runner is going to the finish line and they stretch forth their chest to be able to get through the line first. He says, that's the way I want to be. I want to never look backwards. If you're a runner and you're looking back during a sprint, you're losing time. You're losing paces. He said, I want to look forward. I want to go forward in what I do for Christ. He says, I have not arrived. And then the last one. Matthew 11, 29, 30. And ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He talks about finding. So we look, take, learn, and find. My burden is light. Finding his burden is light. I thought about this the other day. I had to take a business trip 2 or 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, out to the West Coast. And at times, Karen will watch Westerns on TV. Y'all might watch Westerns on TV. It brought back to mind one of the times I was watching it with her. And then it brought me back to It's a Wonderful Life, too. And you remember back in those old times, they had those suitcases. And you could see them carrying that suitcase up, and they're putting it up, carrying it around. And I remember Harry, when he was meeting his brother, coming off the train. It was Harry was meeting George. And you remember that scene there where Harry comes off the train. He's got his big suitcase with him, and he's following his brother George next to the train there. And it was just cumbersome. It was big. It was heavy. And he was carrying it. They were carrying it. And I said, what a cumbersome time that must be. On my business trip, I was gone for 6 days. And I had to pack a lot of clothes. I had to pack business clothes. I had to pack some informational sheets that we hand out at the conference we were going to. And I got to the airport. You know, the night before, I packed it up. I had it in my carrier, or I had it in my bag. I was wheeling it through the house. I put it in my car the night before. The next morning, I had an early flight. Got into the parking van that takes you to the airport, the shuttle. I got in there. The guy picked it up. He said, what do you got in here? And, you know, like almost 50 pounds. He puts it up there, and then I take it down and unload it. I go to the gate checkout. And as I'm going through, again, this is like 6 in the morning. I see people going everywhere at 6 o'clock at Hartsfield, and everybody's moving their luggage around, and the lady picks it up. And I said, okay, this is where I'm going to get busted. I just know it. And she picks that piece of luggage up. And she puts it on the scale, and it goes 47, 48, 48, 48, and it stays at 48. I go, whew, it's not 50. She says, okay, you're good. She puts the tag, she runs it through. But as I thought about that on the plane going out towards California, we were going, or Vegas, where we were going, I thought about, you know, that piece of luggage was 50 pounds either way. I could have either picked it up, and it was 50 pounds, or I could have rolled it, and it was a whole lot easier because it had those little casters on the bottom of it. And I thought about it spiritually. Here I am at 30,000 feet, probably over Texas somewhere, and I thought about it. I said, you know what? Those burdens that we have, those trials that you're going through, those emotional pitfalls that you have up and down, they're still going to be there. They're still going to be there. But you've got the little rollers underneath. You've got Jesus Christ that says, you know what? Let me help you roll that burden through. Let me help you pull that burden through. The burden's still there. You're still going to have it. You're still going to have the trials. You're still going to have the turmoil, the family issues, whatever they may be. But he said, let's just make this easier. Yoke upon me. Now you're pulling that burden, and it's a whole lot lighter because you've given that burden to me. Cast your care upon me because I care for you. I don't want you to carry that 50-pound burden anymore. I want you to give it to me. Just like the rollers were bearers of burdens underneath my luggage that day going through the airport, Jesus Christ could be there to help us to bear that heavy load that we're going through. I'm thankful that he's there to help us in a time of need. Finding our rest in Christ, a place rest that will carry us through life's ups and downs. Go back to Hebrews. Remember I told you to mark Hebrews? I'm almost through, guys. Hang in there. Hebrews 4, 9 through 12. We're talking about finding rest. Hebrews 4, 9 through 12 says this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let me set the stage for you. The book of Hebrews talks a lot about the writer, and I'm not sure who it is. There's several different people who have been given as authors for the book of Hebrews, so I won't speculate. But the writer of Hebrews says here, he's talking about the nation of Israel. All the battles that they're having, all the trials that they're having, all the travesty that they're having, okay? The book of Hebrews is dedicated to the nation to be able to understand some of the things they're going through and why they are and how they can find a way to escape, okay? So verse 9 of chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He's talking to Israel. Here's what's going on. He says, listen, Israel, you had to go, you were released from Egypt. You had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. If you'll trust me and have faith in me, I will bring you through the wilderness to get you to the promised land. But you have to have faith in me because I will give you rest to get through it. But you've got to have faith in me to have the rest. Okay? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work, as God did from us. What he's saying is those that have gotten the rest have ceased from trying to go the way of themselves, seeking help themselves, finding rest themselves. They pulled away from that. And they're going to have rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall into the same example of unbelief. He said, don't fall into that example of unbelief because you're not going to have rest. You will never have rest until you've given it to Christ, asked Him to yoke with you, to be that bearer of your burdens. Otherwise, you're not going to have what? Rest. Thank you. But here's the gist of it. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick. He goes from Israel, do you want to have rest? He says, look, the word of God, that's telling me if I want to have rest, I better get into the word of God. It says here, for the word of God is quick. If you have a Bible and you write in your Bible, that word is quick, is alive. The word of God is quick. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You must study the written word of God that will connect you with the living word of God. And what do I mean by that? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The living Word of God comes from the written Word of God. If you want to find Jesus, it says here, who is alive, He is quickened. That means Jesus is alive. If you want to find the living Word of God, the place that you can get your rest, the place that you can pull off the side of the road, get your rest, refresh, and go on, you've got to be in the written Word of God. Because when you're in the written Word of God, you're going to find the living Word of God, who is Christ Jesus. He's the one that's going to give you rest. It talks about here being a face-to-face meeting. The Word is distinct person was in fellowship with another one. So we see the written Word of God will lead us unto the living Word of God. The Word of God is quick and it's alive. So, are we in need of or are we searching for the next rest area to pull off and into? Refresh, stretch, prepare us for the journey to get us going back to that final destination. We've got to be in the Word of God. It behooves me to understand why people who are going through trials and tribulations and issues and challenges, the last place they go to is the church. I'm sitting here and going to the Word of God and studying Christ and His direction and His leadership and His love and His care and His wanting to yoke us. They'll go in a lot of different areas, but they won't go to where they're going to get their strength from. And that's the living Word of God. Here's a tough one. This is the one that's going to hurt. You ready? Hebrews 4 and 12. We already said it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Chew on that. Wait a minute. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What does that mean? Inside of us. You have a battle going on every day of your lives. Each and every one of us. Male, female, young and old. You have a battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. Amen? You do. You know you're supposed to be doing daily devotions and praying and spending time and reading the Word of God and listening to good stuff and not bad stuff and watching good stuff and not bad stuff. And the flesh is pulling you here and the Spirit of God is pulling you here. And He says, look, I've got a double-edged sword, He's saying here. It's quick and it's alive and it's going to cut you right down the center. Here's the rest that Christ is going to give us. I'm going to discern. I'm going to cut you right down the center. Why? Because I want to take away the spiritual life from the earthly life. I want you to push away. I want you to be more in the spiritual realm than you are in the human realm, the self realm. And the only way I can do that is if I take this two-edged sword that will cut you, but it'll also heal you. Why? Because once I pulled it away and the spiritual life gets bigger and individual life, the self life gets smaller, all of a sudden I've healed you because you've realized, you know what? If I'm going to get rest in my life, I've got to be cut away from the world. I've got to study the Word of God, seek Him, find His way, find His direction, find His rest so that I can rest to take this yoke with Him. He says, I want you to have rest. I want you to get away from the self needs and the wants, and I want you to come towards me. He says, you know what? He puts disruptions in our lives. He puts disruptions in our lives. Why? Not to be difficult, but He says, I want you to come to me when that double-edged sword that heals and cures us and breaks us into the spiritual life and the self life. He says, I want you to come to me. I want you to be there. I want you to come and listen to me, read my word, study my word. The disruptions will come, but that should draw us to God's holy word. It's kind of like watching those remodeling shows on HGTV. I know some of y'all do that. I know somebody personally that does that. And sometimes I even get myself caught doing that. But what do they do on these remodel shows? What do? They tear it down so they can build it up. They tear down something that's ugly, that's wore out, that's no good anymore. But what do? They build it up into something beautiful. You look at it and go, wow, how did they ever build that out of that? Brother Jamie, you're a contractor, you're a builder. How did you wipe all that out and you build it back looking beautiful? That's exactly what that verse of Scripture talks about. It talks about going through a whole remodeling program in our own personal lives. He's going to use that double-edged sword to split us, to grow us more spiritually, to grow us less in a self-life, and to build something up that's beautiful out of something that's ugly in our lives. When we need rest, when we have labored and are heavy laden, we must get into the written Word of God. Let me close here. I don't want you to get into last week's message. Let me get to this week's. Remember the ship we spoke about at the beginning of the lesson, the Kion Seas, the Cayenne Seas? Later it became known as the Polanco Sea, or the Polanco, it was the name of it. They tried to change their name to have a better image, a different image. No one knows exactly what happened to that big ship. Some say it was retired, smelted down for further use. Okay. So they smelt it down, because it was a big ship, they took all that metal, they smelt it down, they put it into different things, a lot of different things. It could be the car you're driving in tonight. You could have part of that ship in there. It could be the bridge that you go over going into Carrollton from Bowden. It could be inside of there. The wood could be part here. Who knows where all those different pieces are at. But wherever the Kion Seas is found, it is no longer carrying. Listen, it's no longer carrying the weight of the burden it once was. It's now useful to be an asset to others in helping them to move forward and carry some of the weight and burden that they may struggle with in life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, help me, and I will give you rest. For the mic.